Hey yo, hey yo, this is Royce ISAACS, Team Filthy representer, one half of the West Coast Wrecking Crew. And all I'm saying is listen to that wrestle and keep it motherfucking filthy.
Hello, hello, hello. It is me, your true hell phenom SP3. You are back once again on WrestleIn.com for another edition of Ace Techers, your home for New Japan Pro Wrestling here on WrestleIn. And I am joined, as always, by your favorite New Japan Pro Wrestling fan. It is Sanal. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to have you back. Obviously, we're missing NK. But as always, we will go on as a duo each time.
You will always have more than one Ace Techers.
You won't have one of the three of us just talking for a full 45 minutes at you. There will always be someone else.
One of us. One of us will at least be here so you can hear the Ace Techers talk. But yes, we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling from what's been kind of a busy week, not really in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but everywhere else, kind of continuing what we kind of have dubbed the era of collaboration with New Japan Pro Wrestling and just New Japan stars sprouting up everywhere, Sanal.
I mean, it's true. There was once a time where some of these companies, you'd never expect them to be together. And here you have it. We're going to be talking about God knows how many companies across the world, different wrestlers. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Exciting time. So we're going to discuss all of that and let us know what you think about all of this New Japan Pro Wrestling. We're going to talk about Will Ospreay showing up in Pro Wrestling Noah for the first time in a dream match against his idol, Namichi Marufuji.
A phenomenal match.
We're going to talk about that right from the start because I want to talk about that matchup. We're going to talk about the matchups that are yet to come, like Zack Sabre Jr. making his way back to AEW to face Bryan Danielson in a match.
He's wrapped in bubble wrap, if anyone's watched his post-match promo from the recent New Japan show.
He's like, we need to put you like in a tomb, mummify you or something.
He was like, you broke your arm winning a match. What are you gonna do if you lose it? And I just imagine him just wrapped in like Zack Sabre Jr. running around with bubble wrap. Like,
it'd be like that one scene in Booty Call. If you don't know, look it up. Also for AEW Wrestle Dream on October 1st, you also got FTR versus Aussie Open 2. We're going to talk about that. Zack Sabre Jr. also in the news because he's broken the title defense record for New Japan Pro Wrestling with this NJPW World Television Championship reign. You got Rohei Uyoa. He's graduated and going to Pro Wrestling Noah. And we got Destruction in Kobe coming up. And we're going to discuss all of that here. So let us know what you think. You can say it on social media, say it on WrestleIn, however you will. Let me and Sanal know what you thought. And shout outs to, of course, our third Ace Checker, NK. He will be probably back on the next one. It'll be me and NK. We haven't done that yet. We'll try a duo that hasn't been tried yet.
Has that been done yet?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's just been me and NK yet. I think it was me, NK, and Karrion. When
but
he was
not
with
just
us,
but, with you. Yeah. New tag team
champs coming. But yes, let's go right into everything, Sanal, and let's talk about the match you said was phenomenal. Will Ospreay making his first appearance in Pro Wrestling Noah in the Emerald Ring against a legend, a living legend in Pro Wrestling Noah, Namichi Marufuji. And boy, oh boy, I expected this match to be great. I did not expect this match to be simply amazing and the perfect match for what they had kind of built this up to be. Will Ospreay saying that he's, Marufuji is his idol and 70% of his offense was inspired by Marufuji. Marufuji celebrating his 25th anniversary. They're in Kurgan Hall. So you have that Kurgan Hall crowd that just brings the electricity unlike anything and just really kind of encapsulates what makes Japanese pro wrestling so special. Like, it just brings that type of like energy and vibe that you cannot match. And this is one of the best Kurgan Hall matches I think I've ever witnessed. Just the different sequences, whether it was Ospreay doing Marufuji moves, Marufuji busting out his version of the Stormbreaker at one point. You got the shearing away into a hidden blade. You got the finish. This was just, I'll say it, I always spoil my ratings here on Ace Seckers, and I'm going to do it again. You know what I'm going to say, Sonal. It gets the full boat. 5-star. Once again, Will Ospreay is going to keep his distance to everybody else with the amount of 5-star matches he has, and this was another one.
A love letter to 5-star Ospreay.
5-star Ospreay. See, we already got our title. But yes, it's an all. What did you think about Marufuji versus Ospreay?
So obviously I didn't watch this live because it was at like 3 a.m. our time. So I got up and went to watch New Japan and thought, wait, no. You know what? While I'm having these multi-man matches, I'm going to watch Ospreay versus Marufuji. And at first I was like, but technically like this should be bigger than Corcoran Hall. Like, couldn't they swap venues? But like you said, there is just something massively electric about the Korakuen crowds that makes everything so much better.
Yeah.
But I feel like the compactness of, and obviously the history of Korakuen with wrestling and the crowd, it just made it amazing. And what I love is that, yes, Ospreay is one of the best in the world. And when he's in AEW on odd occasions, they put that as cockiness. But Noah, and probably with the help of New Japan, have built up this respect between Ospreay. So they had that 10-minute, he did his own love letter to Marufuji for like 10 minutes. And throughout the entire match, and even at the end when he obviously did his promo and he was like, I might be the best, like he said it in Japanese as well, which was quite nice. So he was like, I might be the, like, I'm the best wrestler, though, but today and like now Marufuji is. And yeah, the offense, like you wouldn't think that Marufuji's been in the game for as long as he is with the condition that he's in. Like, he, like you said, was par on par with Will Ospreay, who is at, like, while he's not at his peak, is still beyond most other wrestlers. And yeah, I liked it because I thought, I don't know if it's just me, Ospreay was using a lot more aerial offense than we've seen recently, and I really like that. And obviously they've got the joint thing that they've both been IWGP junior champions, and I feel like they really played into that, even though they're both fully fledged heavyweights.
Yeah, they really dialed it back as far as like Ospreay going back to more of his kind of like junior heavyweight style, and then Marufuji just matching him there. And Marufuji, 43 years old, 25 years into the game, like he just rewind the clock back. That was like the Tanahashi, best I've seen from Marufuji. From
you. Tanahashi, you get on the same thing that Marufuji is getting on.
We need Tanahashi on the Marufuji diet. Whatever Marufuji is doing, we need Tanahashi to copy it ASAP.
Because if you think about it, like Marufuji's done the junior, and they always say that junior wrestling is probably the most strenuous on your body. And the fact that he has had such a long career, he is at that age and he still looks this good and he's going head to head with someone probably about 15 years younger, proves that, you know what, if you want to look up to someone for longevity and good conditioning, Marufuji is that person.
Marufuji is that guy. Just a wonderful performance for a fabulous and very influential pro wrestler, Naramichi Marufuji. I remember my first time witnessing Marufuji was in Ring of Honor back in like 2006. I saw Glory by Honor, which was his match, I believe it was with Nigel McGuinness. And just that match alone, I was just like fell in love with him as a performer. It was either Glory by Honor or Final Battle, because I was there live at Final Battle. So I forget which one that he faced Nigel, but the first time I saw him was against Nigel McGuinness, and just the way he hit the Sharon Way or the slice bread number two, the way he transitioned into moves, the kicks, the chops. And all of that kind of, I felt those vibes in this matchup. Those chops they were trading off just felt like, it felt like whips of a strap. And I was there live at All Out That's why I wasn't on the last edition of Ace Techers, and I heard the straps of Brian Danielson on Ricky Starks, and I said that was like a lightning bolt. But you have to imagine in Kurgan Hall, which is smaller than the United Center, that's how those chops had to sound for those people in Kurgan Hall.
And I think it's not just the wrestling. It is both of their presence in the ring. They just have a way of, like, they've got this charisma when they wrestle, this personality. And it, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have put that much out of place at, like, Tokyo Dome. Well, I think it worked nicer at Korakuen because it was nice and impactful. That easily could have been a match that main evented a show at a much bigger arena and was on the card for, like, at a Tokyo Dome show.
I don't disagree with you. That's why I'm very interested.
Wait, get Mara Fuji on the Wrestle Kingdom card.
That's why I'm very interested in what they're going to do with Ospreay come Wrestle Kingdom time. Because does he still have the IWGP US UK Championship? You know, we're gonna do our predictions for Destruction in Kobe, where he versus Yota Tsuji. So we don't know about that. Is he going to have another round with Kenny Omega? Does he, if he is the IWGP US UK champion, he has made it no secret he's about to be a free agent in 2024. Mm-hmm. Is that when they make him lose the title? And then there, does he not verse Kenny Omega because that's not the person they want to drop the title to? Does he verse maybe someone like a Ren Narita or Shota Aminu, someone for the future that they can build to? There's a lot of question marks in these last months of 2023 as we head into 2024, which is a huge year for Will Ospreay.
But I think there's also, they've built it. So we're going to speak about, obviously, Ospreay versus Tsuji. But we've got Ospreay versus Zach coming up at Royal Quest, which I don't know if NK's bought his tickets, but I am definitely going to be there. And it's almost like, could that be a possibility that someone said, because obviously Zach's got this King of the New Japan World, which we'll talk about later. Do they put them at a time limit draw? And then while it might not be the match everyone expects, could he drop it at Wrestle Kingdom for someone like Zach, where we have like a full circle journey if he chooses to leave New Japan? Like, I feel like Zach or someone like Okada or someone like that would be the perfect person to him to drop it to. But then, I mean, we're going to speak about this. Tsuji has spoken about Naito's whole idea of the IWGP belt and splitting it back up into Intercontinental. And then he said that if he wins the US title or the UK title, but then they bring back the Intercontinental belt, he's gonna relinquish the US belt and go for the Intercontinental belt. So really, all the wrestlers are bringing up a lot of things that could really impact the next few months.
They're just taking us in all different directions and trying to distract us from one thing so they can do that and then talk about the other. I think that Will Ospreay's next big match, besides after Yota Tsuji at Destruction in Kobe, is not Zack Sabre Jr. at Royal Quest. I think Will Ospreay will be at AEW Wrestle Dream against Ring of Honor Pure Champion Katsuyori Shibata. Shibata announced on AEW Collision he will be at Wrestle Dream, and he said in his Google Translate promo that he wants to
his
prove
Google
himself.
Translate promo, the accuracy of his Google Translate promo.
He wants to prove himself as one of the best wrestlers in the world. Whenever I hear that, I think of two guys. I think you're either going to challenge Brian Danielson or you're going to challenge Will Ospreay. That's pretty much it. Huh?
Or Toru Yano.
Who is this Toru Yano?
You're never going to get away with my love for Yano, I swear.
Never, never. Next, you're going to say evil. That's your other love.
No, that's going to link into the fact after the G1 that it was probably my fault that we're going to be talking about the Destruction in Kobe preview. So I'm not going to jinx anything with evil anymore.
Well, you got the whole history between Shibata and Ospreay, where Shibata first made his first appearance in All Elite Wrestling back at Forbidden Door 1 last year, when Ospreay and United Empire looked like they were going to jump Orange Cassidy. It was Shibata that came out to make the save.
And when they were the bad guys.
They had a little exchange there with each other. It looked like they were teasing something, but we never got the payoff. They never gave us a match because New Japan seems to be not wanting to book Shibata while Tony Khan does. And this seems like the perfect opportunity to do it. And it might have been something that Tony Khan thought of doing for Forbidden Door 2 before Ospreay and Omega became the obvious match to do. And I've been calling it on other platforms, and I'll say it here. AEW Wrestle Dream is basically all the matches Tony Khan wanted to do at Forbidden Door the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like with the two matches we're about to talk about. But I think Shibata and Ospreay just adds to that.
That would be an amazing match. It is like you've got the not the past of New Japan, because that feels like a disservice to Shibata, but because obviously he's still relevant now. But I'm just saying, like, you've got the up and comer, and then Shibata, who was one of the past Three Musketeers, and it just feels like, I get it, Shibata is come back, he has his title, but he still probably wants to prove himself. Like every day he's like, right, I'm back, I need to prove why, like, people should keep having me as one of the best wrestlers. And to do that against Ospreay, who's currently on a roll, would be epic. It's a shame that they can't do it in someone like New Japan, but I guess New Japan still seems very reluctant to give him anything. And again, I'm not surprised. Like, I think it's similar with Saraya and AEW, where WWE was probably reluctant to use her. AEW seems a bit more willing to take a few risks, which I understand why New Japan wouldn't be. So I'm not going to complain in that sense.
Yeah, and especially because the last time they gave him the opportunity to have a match, he wasn't supposed to do headshots and all this other stuff, and he decided to do it. So they was like, nope, no more.
Nope, not on our insurance.
Not on our insurance. We can't afford that, sir. But yes, I think Shibata and Ospreay is a match to do at AEW Wrestle Dream. But we have other matches already announced for AEW Wrestle Dream. On the AEW side, of course, you got the Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland in Swerve Strickland's home state of Washington, in Seattle, Washington. But another person whose hometown is home state is Washington is the Aberdeen, Washington native Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, and he made it known on AEW Collision on September 9th that he is winding down his career and he is looking to call his shots. So he called his shot for AEW Wrestle Dream to go one-on-one with the guy that calls himself the best technical wrestler in the world, Zack Sabre Jr. This is a matchup that was scheduled to go down at Forbidden Door 1 in June 2022. This is kind of been building for a few years now. These two kind of crossed paths when Bryan was retired from the ring, when Zack Sabre Jr. was in the Cruiserweight Classic and Bryan Danielson was the
That still makes me laugh remembering watching Zack Sabre Jr. in the Cruiserweight Classic.
It is funny to look back on that. It is funny. I saw some backstage thing with him, Finn Balor, and Bryan talking. It's cute. But yes, and Zack Sabre Jr. has made it no secret. He has been talking trash about Bryan Danielson over the last few years. And now the showdown goes down. AEW Wrestle Dream, October 1st, Seattle, Washington. Bryan Danielson, Zack Sabre Jr. How much are you looking forward to this showdown here, Sanaa?
I mean, it's a birthday gift, isn't it? My birthday's on the 1st of October. Whether I'll be watching it live depends, but for that, Zack Sabre Jr. has got to do it. He has got to go out there and pull some serious tekkers, because their history is decades. When they were fighting against 20 people in a small pub here in the UK, and now they are two of the best in the world, I think Zack could probably be a lot bigger and more known, he's still by far one of the best wrestlers. So this is a dream, and let's make sure Tony Khan wraps Bryan Danielson in some bubble wrap, because Zack needs this to happen.
Unfortunately, Bryan Danielson will be in a Texas death match against Ricky Starks on AEW Collision.
Are you joking?
No, this Saturday. This Saturday.
Right, did Zack know this before he started talking about the bubble wrap?
No.
Why would you do anything to jeopardize Zach Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson?
I don't know. I mean it's either Tony Khan or Bryan Danielson is a madman. They have to be a madman doing a Texas death match before this matchup that has
eluded us. Let's wrap him in bubble wrap for that. That would make it even funnier, do you not think? Just like Bryan Danielson, like jumping around the ring wrap to bubble wrap.
That'll work. I can't wait for this matchup. I think it has all the makings of being the greatest technical wrestling matchup of all time. Because you're going to know that crowd in Seattle, they're going to be 100% behind Bryan. Zack Sabre Jr. knows how to work as a heel in that atmosphere. And it feels like, based on the build so far, that this is going to be the main event of the show as well. So a lot of pressure on them to deliver. And I think that it is going to deliver. And it's going to be an all-time classic. Bryan Danielson, in my opinion, is the greatest of all time, especially as far as like in-ring competitor. He's amazing. And I think Zack Sabre Jr. is just a few classes away from that tippy top. I put this on social media so I can say it here as well. I've said there's only 8 guys I ever would put as like an A+ in the ring, because they kind of like had that resume and were at an A+ level for like multiple years. Bryan Danielson is in that 8, along with Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero. I know what he did in real life, but Chris Benoit, Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega. Those are the guys, as far as like North America, UK. I didn't want to include Japan.
I was like, where's Okada?
No, yeah, I couldn't include Japan, because I was like, if I include Okada, then I gotta include Kobashi. If I include Kobashi, I gotta include Masala. If I include Masala, I gotta include Tanahashi. If I include, I would have been a trickle.
You're gonna snowball into like something much bigger than you.
Exactly. If I kept it just to North America and UK, I was like, okay, I can keep it to 8. And people were questioning me. They were like, Zack Sabre Jr. I was like, he's an A for me. He's an A, which is not bad. A is like just the one tier down, but he's an A to me because he just doesn't have the number of classics of kind of his contemporaries in the same era of Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. But I feel like he's a year or two or a few more classics away from being in that territory.
Oh, no, definitely. Like, Zach's one of my favorite wrestlers because he just has everything. He's good in the ring. He's good on the mic. He's good backstage. I mean, okay, less on the mic because it's New Japan, but backstage and stuff. But it's true, because of his placement on the card, it is almost very hard to put him up there with the world champions and those who've had the epic main event bouts at Wrestle Kingdom. But if I always think, and like, this is like a bad thing because everyone knows I love Will Ospreay. If Ospreay goes, is that opening the door for Zach? Albeit he's on the older age spectrum, but is that opening it for him? Because, like, if anyone's noticed in his promos, he's speaking very well in Japanese. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, like, and it's not even just, like, simple Japanese. As someone who's learning it, he's getting very good. His accent is getting there. He's not... Remember in the past where he'd put on, like, when he was speaking Japanese, you'd still hear his English accent. He has now got that more authentic vibe. So I feel like if, God forbid, that Ospreay goes, it's the perfect opening for Zach to be that top foreigner. And that might just be the push he needs to get those big matches. Especially with guys like Jay White's not there either. So
yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because it is going to open that door completely for him. Like just how, you know, AJ Styles leaving opened the door for Kenny Omega to get that spot. If Kenny Omega leaving opened the door for Jay White and Will Ospreay to elevate to the next level. I think Ospreay is kind of the final person, because it's just like, it's so kind of like relatable and to each other, because they grew up in the business together. But Will has kind of just been, has that more of that connection with the fans and that level of charisma that Zach hasn't been able to show. I feel Zach has it. He just hasn't been able to show it on the same level as Will and gotten the same opportunities as Will, because they're so closely comparable to one another, despite their styles being so different in the ring, as far as their UK gaijin in New Japan. That's basically, if you're like a casual New Japan fan that's just watching, that's how you would view Will Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr., despite their personalities and their in-ring styles being so different. So I do agree with you. Ospreay leaving may open the door for Zack to finally get that main event push that he really needs.
But that's not me saying that Ospreay should leave, because
I don't. I know you don't want that, but we have seen, especially this year, Tony Khan loves.
Tony Khan's been taking everyone.
Tony Khan loves Will Ospreay, Sonal. No, he loves that.
Tony Khan does. Tony Khan hates me. He is taking everyone away. He took, I mean, I wasn't too bothered about taking Juice. I could take that. He took Jay away.
What? Juice Robinson has been the best signing of the year.
So that has worked. That has worked because they have used him more and pushed him in a better way than New Japan has. However, Tony Khan took Jay White, took Aussie Open, and now he's trying to take Will Ospreay. Don't know what he's doing to me. He's going to give me a heart attack.
Trying to take everything away from
Tony Khan is taking everything that I hold dear to me. He's taking it away.
Well, that's why we have a working relationship with All Elite Wrestling here at New Japan. You know,
am I getting Aussie Open at World Tag League? Probably not. Will I ever see Jay White in a New Japan ring? Probably not. What are they gonna do next?
They literally said you won't see Jay White in a New Japan ring.
Are they gonna take? I'm trying to think. I mean, to be fair, as soon as the rumors with Ospreay side, I was like, "Oh, is Zack Sabre Jr. gonna leave?" Do not jinx that either, please.
It's this partnership is seeming more and more like WWF and ECW, New Japan is the ECW part of this.
Well, the thing is, and I've mentioned this so many times. In the long run, like, New Japan don't care. They know that their foreign talent is gonna come and go.
Yeah.
And they have got concessions for that. And at the end of the day, the foreigners are not the ones drawing the tickets in Japan. They've even got, like, concessions if Okada and Tanahashi and Naito go. But yeah. I guess a part of, like, us as fans, we're like, we don't want you to go.
Don't go, please.
Don't leave me.
Well, you mentioned one team that has gone from New Japan Pro Wrestling and starting up at All Elite Wrestling, Aussie Open. As they are going to be in a high-profile match, probably the biggest match since they signed with All Elite Wrestling, coming up at AEW WrestleDream on October 1st. It's going to be FTR defending the AEW World Tag Team titles against Aussie Open on October 1st, 2023. 1 year to the day from you were there at World Quest 2 for FTR versus Aussie Open 1. The rematch goes down at WrestleDream. Are you looking forward to this? And what have you thought about Aussie Open over at AEW so far?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of nice that it's like an entire year. It feels like it's fate. Like I said, I don't watch AEW that much, but I will always watch and I'll always make sure I watch Aussie Open of the match. I had grievances with their booking at All In. We all know this. However, for now, I think Aussie Open are doing well in All Elite Wrestling. Whether it'll stay like that, I don't know, because we've seen with Tony Khan that he does have a tendency to book them for the first few months very good, and then obviously when they get new shining stars, drop them. A bit like WWE, and people have heard me drone on and on about my grievances with AEW taking talent. But this match should be amazing. There is something about Aussie Open and FTR that just works in the ring. Like, their styles, they mix perfectly. And just so long as we don't have another thing that we had at All In, like, let Aussie Open be the stars. Don't try and put them in another storyline and try and use them for that. It's for the titles, I assume, right?
Yeah, it's for the AEW World Tag Team titles.
Yeah, so as long as, like, I don't know whether I see that. I'm not followed enough to know how big, because I think, aren't FTR trying to build something up with the Young Bucks?
Well, they had their match with the Young Bucks at All In, where they beat the Young Bucks, then they teamed up with them at All Out, and they lost to Bullet Club Gold. So a lot of people thought that Bullet Club Gold would be the next in line for title shots, but seems FTR cut a promo on the following Collision and said they were doing kind of like an open challenge against, like, lesser known teams. So they beat Iron Savages. So
Aussie Open aren't going to win then, I assume.
I assume they're not. Because also I have had a problem with the booking of Aussie Open. in All Elite Wrestling, because I am an Aussie Open fan. I was so high on them that on this show, Ace Techers, I said they were tag team of the year. I called it in like April. Since then, FTR has kind of taken over that spot. They are the tag team of the year because they had that classic with Jay White and Juice Robinson. A great, an outstanding
The Bang Bang Squad.
Huh?
The Bang Bang Squad.
The Bang Bang Gang.
Bang Bang Gang. God, I like squad better. Bang Bang Squad.
You're just making your own stuff up? The Bang Bang Squad.
But I think Bang Bang Gang sounds better with an American accent.
No, it sounds great with your accent.
It sounds so weird with a British accent. Bang Bang Gang. This is why I thought it was squad, because when I say Bang Bang Gang, it just sounds weird.
No, it doesn't. It sounds great. We're gonna make like a theme song for this show. It's just gonna have a loop.
Hey Jay White, if you're listening, because obviously Jay White what listens to this, if you need someone to do your introductions for every week, I can do the announcements. Okay, you can kickstart my ring announcing career, and I can mention the Bang Bang Gang in my best Mancunian accent.
Yes, I love it. I'm here for it. But yes,
well, someone snippet this and send this to Jay White.
There you go. There you go. We love you, Jay. But yes, Aussie Open, I haven't liked their booking so far. Not that they haven't, you know, been featured, because they have been, whether it's been with the Better Than You Bebe feud, or, you know, a couple of Ring of Honor World Tag Team title defenses, and even their squash victories on Collision and Rampage before making the challenge to FTR. But they had a big opportunity to get a key victory to solidify the fact that they earned this opportunity against FTR at AEW Wrestle Dream when they faced the Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, who were freaking doing a breakup angle and having a match on Grand Slam, and they beat Aussie Open. Like, what was the reason for that?
I actually watched that match. Because, like I said, like, when I watch AEW, I'll normally, like, fast-forward it to see if there's any, like, New Japan guys. I did watch that. I was also very confused.
It was so confusing, because the whole match, they're bumping into each other, they're miscuing, and then they still beat Aussie Open. It's like, what are you trying to do?
What happened at All In, though? You had a tag team who aren't,
They're best friends now.
Who have just been best friends for, like, what was it, like a month or two, versus a team that have been teaming for, like, years and years. And,
they don't use the double clothesline as a finisher, Sanal.
I could talk for all day about how Aussie Open should be in New Japan and them, and criticizing Tony Khan to help that. But
it's not Tony Khan's fault that Taki Abari didn't want to open up the checkbook for Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis. Just because Tony Khan opened up the checkbook, we got to be happy for Aussie Open. But we can complain about the booking.
But he's kidnapped them, you know?
He didn't kidnap them. He paid. He's paying them handsomely.
We got 2 minutes of them on the Rev Pro show. Any other Rev Pro show, I've seen every Rev Pro show that, like, has come to Manchester and has been in London, and they've been on every one. Suddenly they go to AEW and what? They don't even get a match. Let them go to Rev Pro. Let them come back to the UK.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. He did not kidnap them. He's paying them handsomely. They got nice
fat check. He kidnapped Jay White. He's kidnapped Aussie Open. He's kidnapping all of my favorites.
Tony Khan, international kidnapper.
Next thing, he's going to take Tai Chi. That's where I draw the line. That's where I will go to America and personally give New Japan the money to keep Tai Chi.
Tai Chi is where you draw the line.
Tai Chi is where you can take Jay White. I accepted that. But when you touch Tai Chi, that's when we have issues, Tony Khan.
Lovely stuff.
Sorry, this is not a Sonal's hating on Tony Khan episode. Please do not come at me.
This is, all of my suggested titles are now just Tony Khan slander. TK kidnapped Aussie Open. Tony Khan, international kidnapper.
I'm going to be confused if this is a New Japan podcast or an AEW podcast.
Well, we had to talk about the New Japan related matches for AEW Wrestle Dream. Possibly it is going to be dated for the next episode, so maybe me and NK will do predictions on the next episode. I don't know, but this is our opportunity to talk about it because they had two matches that either featured a New Japan talent or a former New Japan.
And then he went on to me accusing Tony Khan of crimes.
Of actual crimes, ladies and gentlemen. She is slandering Tony Khan and his great name. We mentioned Zack Sabre Jr. when we brought up AEW Wrestle Dream with his big match with Bryan Danielson, but he had two big matches.
Oh yeah, Tony Khan, don't kidnap Zack Sabre Jr. either. You just
can't. She's like, please don't kidnap him. Zack Sabre Jr. had two big matches on the road to destruction. He was first supposed to defend his an NJPW World Television Championship against Bolton Oleg, but he was injured or sick. I think he
had a high fever. I think he had a high fever, and New Japan is still quite, even though COVID is less of a thing, they're still quite strict on any fevers or anything of not having them wrestle.
Okay. That's understandable. So he faced Roihei Uyoa, who came out all graduated up, Sanal. No more black boots, black tights. He came out with full-on silver, shiny tights, and he came out with who's going to be his Pro Wrestling Noah kind of mentor, Kaito Kiyomiya. Noah big brother, Kaito Kiyomiya. He's got a new haircut, got the short hair popping, and him and Zack Sabre Jr. had a very good matchup. I thought this was Roihei's best matchup since coming to New Japan. He was very competitive against Zack Sabre Jr., but Zack, of course, putting him in submission, basically breaking his arms off to get the win. So let's focus first on this matchup here, which I believe this was the record breaker for Zack Sabre Jr., the 13th defense of the NJPW World Television Championship.
He's now the most winningest champion, which I'm still, it's not a word, but they keep using it. So we'll describe him as the most winningest.
The most winningest champion in New Japan Pro Wrestling history. What a run he's had with the NJPW World Television Championship, really putting that title on the map this year since winning it on January 4th. But Roihei Uyoa putting a good effort against one of the best wrestlers in the world, but now he goes on to kind of start his graduation with an excursion in Pro Wrestling Noah. So what did you think about the new look for Roihei Uyoa, and what do you think about him in Pro Wrestling Noah?
I think it'd be nice. I feel bad, like sad now that I got rid of my Wrestle Universe subscription because I like want to watch Uyoa do his stuff. But I think it's good because we've always said this, that excursions are a massive thing and where you go can help or hinder you. And I've seen some people like, because it's not common at all, I don't think we've seen any Young Lions do a internal Japan excursion. However, I think this is way better than anything, better than Narita doing his America New Japan, because Noah is a completely different place.
Yeah.
From New Japan. Everything about it, and he's going to be, and I know people have had grievances with Noah saying that they focus on the older guys, but for Uyoa going there, he's going to have those older guys to take influences from. Not just the young guys like Kiyomiya, but Mara Fuji and all of their styles, like Kenno. And I like this match because, remember, Zack had the choice between Uyoa and Fujita, and he picked Fujita. So what I like is this was for Uyoa almost like a, right, okay, you didn't pick me, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to succeed by myself. And I almost think that this is going to be an ongoing story. When he eventually comes back, there'll be a feud against TMDK of him. And I feel like it's too early, but I think if they're going to keep the belt on Zack, I mean, keep him on another year, wait until Uyoa comes back and then have him beat him for the belt in that sense. Because that could be or beat a member of TMDK. That would be a big, like, you didn't want me in your faction, you didn't want to take me, but I am going to take now what you have.
I'm interested to see what he does over in Pro Wrestling Noah. I'm interested to see what his partnership with Kaito Kiyomiya means. And Oyawa, I think he has a lot of talent, and this showed kind of his potential, that he has kind of that what Yua Uemura had before him, what a little bit of what Shoto Amino had. You saw a little bit of that in Oyawa in this matchup against
not Axel what Green. Yuto Nakashima has.
No, definitely.
They keep bringing that up. They keep bringing up, Yuto Nakashima's watching them all go. And I'm like, at some point, they're going to realize that Yuto Nakashima does not have the star talent that I think they think that they've got with him. And they should just cut their losses.
Jesus. Bury the guy, why don't you?
I'm so bad for saying this because I am the biggest advocate of Young Lions. But nothing that he has done in the ring has... Like, even his match against Hiromu, he had yesterday's show. Just nothing is standing out. We've said this about the last few classes, even dating back to, let's say, Jay White, show, Finley, and all of them. There was something about them. But I'm not feeling that in Yuto. I'm sorry, Yuto.
We're sorry, Yuto. But Sanal hates you.
I don't hate you. Any momentum that he had was gone as soon as he debuted. And they've just not... He's trailing behind everyone.
So you're saying... So with Zach's reign, you're saying that you think Oyawa should be the one to end it?
I think it would be nice to have that, because again, it was meant to be built as something for younger talent, similar to what Never was. And just the history with Zach and Oyawa, like the whole, he was being used like Fujita in the G1 to help him get the wins, but in the end he didn't pick Oyawa, and Oyawa is going to be salty about that, and he has said that in the past.
I think it's going to be Ren Narita. I think you end the reign how you started the reign. The guy he beat in the finals of the tournament is going to be the guy that ends his run.
So I need to see something from Narita. Even something simple as let him change his pants.
Change his pants, sir.
I'm still seeing Shibata. I need something different from him before he can beat Zack Sabre Jr. Like, hell, I want Shota Umino. Shota Umino can beat Zack. I'll take that. Because I feel like we're getting somewhere with Shota. But Narita's still yet to convince me that he shouldn't have been, that he's yet to convince me that the heavyweight division is the place for him.
Well, Zach wasn't done with the Road to Destruction and title defenses on it. On day two of the Road to Destruction, we had Zach defend the title against Kojima, Satoshi Kojima, one of the veterans, one of the New Japan dads on the roster here. And I thought this was more of like a hard-hitting matchup. This was kind of, you know, Koji using his hard-hitting strong style against Zach, using the techers. In the end, it was Zack Sabre Jr. once again pulling out a victory with another submission. I believe this matchup went about 12-13 minutes. Zach racking up the title defenses, his 14th successful defense, and another good matchup. What did you think?
It's like I said with Marufuji, Kojima is another instance of if you're a wrestler and you want longevity and still being good, Kojima is another one to look at. Because he is in his, I think, late 40s. He must be a similar age to Tanahashi.
He has to be like 47, 48, maybe?
He is still in amazing condition. He has had an amazing year winning like in All Japan, and then he had his run in all the different companies. And he held his own against Zach. Like, it's similar to Ospreay and Marufuji in the sense that you've got the present of the company and the past. But Kojima proved that while he is technically counted in the third, like with Nagata and them, he is beyond them. He is, his body and his mentality can still work, and he can still main event shows. Like, he has proved that in the other companies. Like, if he, for example, with this Best of Seven series, I'm like, why are you putting Tenzan through this? Like, no, Nagata through this. And then Tenzan had the 6-man title match, didn't he?
I mean, that 6-man title match was really good, though.
But Tenzan is not in the right shape. Like, I was looking at him, I was like, ah.
No, he's not. But you want to hear the crazy part?
What?
Tenzan is younger than Kojima.
No, don't lie.
Tenzan is 53. Kojima is 53. Tenzan is 52.
Kojima is in his 50s. Yeah, don't lie to me. No, I'm searching this
myself. No, I'm dead serious. I just looked it up.
Holy. And Tanahashi's younger. And Kojima is in amazing shape.
Yes.
Oh, my mind is
indeed.
How old did you say Tenzan is?
I thought Tenzan was like in his late 50s. I didn't think he was 52.
Because I thought he was like similar to Nagata, like on the upper end of the 50s. Yeah, Kojima. Yeah, someone give Kojima another title run. They should have had him for the 6-man titles, because I would have been more willing to believe that he could pick up a win.
Yeah, that is true. I will give you that. Nagata is only a few years older than those guys. He's 55.
If you rank them, I think Koji's at the top with his physical abilities. Then Nagata, then Tenzan, despite being the youngest out of the three of them.
Which is insane. That's insane that I just looked that up and found that out.
I think Kojima is on a similar stance to Suzuki. That you would never, like, the way Suzuki moves, I don't think I've seen Suzuki do anything false or his body be in a way that I worry about him.
Yeah.
So
because he never really does anything that would cause that. Yeah. And he doesn't have like someone that has a similar style to him but does a lot more like bumps is like Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
Like Ishii, I don't think he's gonna last as long as Suzuki will last.
How was all the Ishii? Ishii must be in his 40s.
Yeah, he's 47. In his
47.
Yeah, he's in his 40s. But yeah, I thought it was a good matchup with Zack Sabre Jr. and Kojima, Zack Sabre Jr. and Oyawa. This run, it keeps going, but I think Ren Narita is going to be the guy when he gets his shot. Ren Narita or Shoto Umino.
You said that. You said you want to go for, then would it be the best for Zack to hold it for Wrestle Kingdom and then have the full circle?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that. And that gives them time. They can do a whole, they've been loving, as you've been seeing on the Road to Destruction, this stable versus stable stuff they've been loving with right now, LIJ versus United Empire and House of Torture versus Just Five Guys. And
well, I'm going to put a plug in. If you want to know a bit more about New Japan Factions, I have just posted an explain and ranked video on my YouTube channel.
Hey, and that's the perfect time because we're going to do our plugs right now. Sanal, let the people know exactly where they can find your YouTube channel and everything else you got going on.
Yeah, so like I said, you can find me on YouTube on Sanal's Life. I just posted the video. I do this like probably every year or so whenever a big shakeup happens with the faction. So my latest video, I've looked at all of the factions, the sub-factions, and put them in order of like how successful they're doing. So you can do that. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming forward. Like I've said before, I'm attending the Royal Quest 3 show. So there'll be things from there. And to keep up to date, make sure to follow me on social media at wrestling_chat, because that is the first place you will find out when videos are going up.
Indeed. You can follow me on the Twitter X machine, whatever you want to call it.
You can't call it Twitter X. That's completely like hypocritical. You're putting the two different ways. Just X.
Twitter X. at TrueHeel SP3 TRU no E. That is where you can see most of my content on all the different platforms. But go over and check out the TrueHeel Heat flagship podcast and YouTube channel TRU no E there as well. TrueHeel Heat Wrestling. We are closely approaching 10,000 subscribers. So help us out if you haven't already. Go over and subscribe over there. You'll see Sanal over there with our New Japan coverage with myself and Jay News, but we got coverage for WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling, whatever wrestling you're watching. We're talking about it over on the TrueHeel Heat YouTube channel. So go over and check it out, where we will also be doing a Destruction in Kobe preview and review. But here we are here to do the preview here on this edition of Ace Techers. So now Destruction in Kobe is going to be on Sunday, September 24th from Kobe World Hall. They got already announced 10 matchups. Wow, this is a big card. Wow. Big card. 10 matches announced. First matchup, we will give predictions for. You got Kevin the Jet Knight teaming up with Tiger Mask to verse the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Clark Connors and Drilla Maloney, Bullet Club, War Dogs. I'm going with the champs to get the non-title win here. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, unless they've decided that Tiger Mask needs a new partner and is going to go with Kevin Knight, I don't see that happening. And especially, like, they're going to keep building this dominance of Bullet Club. Having them losing to a team that's got Tiger Mask in is not the best.
And I think this is just the build to Jet Setters versus War Dogs because, you know, Kevin Knight got the win over Clark Connors at All-Star Junior Festival USA. You had Kushida. I think he got a victory over one of these guys as well. So yeah, they have the victories that can set up the matchup already. But this is kind of the further the feud between the two teams. What Kushida's not in Japan, obviously. Second match, we got the continued faction warfare: House of Torture versus Just Five Guys. House of Torture represented by Evil. Yeah, Yujiro Takahashi, Dick Togo to face Taka Michinoku, Doki, and the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Sonata of Just Five Guys. Who gets the win in this six-man tag?
Taka gets pinned, sadly. I think that's going to be the case. I think, obviously, the plan going forward would have been Kanemaru to be in it, so I feel like Dick Togo probably would have got pinned there. But Uncle Nobu got injured, so we're sending best recovery and best wishes to Uncle Nobu. But yeah, this whole thing, I think people have had their grievances about Sonata's reign, and I've been the first person to defend it, saying it's amazing, like he's doing what he needs to do. But this feud with Evil is just draining me.
This is not how you continue a good reign for Sonata. Like, I don't understand why they thought their genius idea for the fall program for Sonata was another round with Evil. I didn't want to see it when it didn't involve the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. I don't want to see it with the IWGP World title. Jesus, New Japan. What are we doing, Gato? What are we doing?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I just hope that we get it sorted. Wait, when is their match? Their match, is it before Royal Quest 3?
October 8th.
Right, that's fine. Just get it sorted and then bring Sonata to the UK and build something good. And I don't... They've not announced Evil for that show, so I mean, I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed that stays on.
Give Sonal something good for Sonata, yeah. Please. Eddie Kingston's coming, so that's good.
But Hanari has mentioned that he wouldn't even mind challenging. He was saying, like, I don't care where I fight him, and even mentioned London. So please bring, because Hanari's never been to the UK, please bring Hanari, and let's have a title match there.
Why not? I'm here for it. For that matchup, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take House of Torture to get the win. Taka, yeah, looking up at the lights. Third match.
Bushi's job for the match.
Exactly. Third match on the card. We got another faction warfare. This time it's Bullet Club War Dogs versus Guerrillas of Destiny. Guerrillas of Destiny represented by Jado, El Phantasmo, Hikaleo, Tangaloa, and Tama Tonga to verse the Bullet Club War Dogs with the leader, David Finley, Chase Owens, Alice Coughlin, Gabe Kidd, and Gato. Who gets the win here?
It depends on who they want to put forward, like the dominant one. Because obviously we assume that's going to be either Jado or Gato getting the pin.
Yeah.
So I honestly see Jado getting the pin.
I think Gato gets pinned Guerrillas of Destiny win.
So we're going to have some momentum going because they've got Harmony. So it's Hikaleo and ELP challenging for the tag titles. And then Finley and Tama, isn't it?
And then I think they have a matchup on the Road to show with Tonga and Chase Owens. Or it might be on that October 8th show.
I don't get that, but yeah, okay.
I don't get it either. Fourth match.
Chase Owens something to do.
They must think that people are interested in that feud.
To be fair, Japanese crowds love Tangaloa.
This is true.
This is true. And they seem to tolerate Chase Owens. Fourth match on the card, we got Yo teaming up with Leo Rush to face Los Ingobernables de Japón, Bushi and the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Hiromu Takahashi. This is, of course, a preview for Leo Rush versus Hiromu versus Speedball Mike Bailey on October 8th at Destruction in Ryogoku. Who gets the win here in this tag team match, which I think is like a sleeper? This could be one of the better matches on the card.
I'm excited because I think Yo's been really killing it recently. His carefree attitude, he's just like, him teaming with Taguchi, it's just been a lot of fun. And I think it's linking in with Leo's more like heel edge.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that they're going to turn heel, but I'm just saying that if they are thinking of maybe revamping Chaos, because if you think about it, we've seen Dick Okada a bit more. Ishii's always Ishii. I think Electrician Bushi gets his job back off Taka Michinoku.
I agree. I think that that Yo and Leo get the victory here. And maybe, hopefully, Leo's going to be in Japan for the Super Junior Tag League so we can get that tag team back there as well.
Otherwise, we're probably going to get Yo teaming with Taguchi, because, I mean, I've been enjoying their matches together, actually.
Who's Wato going to team with then?
Well, no, you know what I think? And this is completely random booking, because I know that he could probably team with a lot of other people. But technically, Strong Style is under Hontai. And obviously, Wato and Despy are having this feud right now. Mm. And I would love it if just, like, randomly, like, at the end of this 7 series, they have, like, a mutual, like, friendship or respect, and they end up teaming together.
That'd be God, please don't do that. Do not put El Desperado with Wato, please.
Why not? Wato has improved massively.
He has. He was in one of my 5-star matches this year against Seton.
And he could benefit from the edge of Desperado. And that could maybe add the much-needed difference in Strong Style.
I don't know. It's just because I love Despy and I don't love Wato. I like Wato now, but I don't love him.
I'm Team Wato. I've been Team Wato since he was a young lion.
I know you have. I am Team Despy all day,
I love Desperado. But I'm just saying that while I think Strong Style need another junior, and why not Wato?
Why not Wato? There you go, another title. Fifth match on the card, you got Tomohiro Ishii and Kazuka Okada teaming up from Chaos to face TMDK's own Bad Dude Tito and Zack Sabre Jr. This is a very interesting matchup. I don't know why it's happening, but it's happening.
I'll take it. I think it's going to be another decent match on this, because Bad Dude Tito is getting all the love in Japan.
Indeed. They love him in Japan. I think this, the matchups without like any like storyline or just the build stuff seem pretty good on this card. And now we got the matches that have kind of gotten the build for this Destruction in Kobe show. Sixth match on the card is the King of Pro Wrestling 2023 Provisional Championship, Tai Chi, defending against Sho. It was Sho who defeated Tai Chi in a multi-man matchup of House of Torture versus Just Five Guys. And Sho called this shot on the G1 Climax 33 final show for a shot at the KOPW Championship. And this will be a seconds handcuffed match where everyone from Just Five Guys and House of Torture will be handcuffed to one another outside the ring.
I love how Sho was genuinely upset that his stipulation didn't get picked. And I think I was looking on social media, a lot of Western fans wanted Sho's stipulation, because I think it was the more interesting of
what was his stipulation.
His was really random, like, I guess in every way, like, he basically has the advantage in every way. So Tai Chi couldn't use Black Mephisto. He couldn't. Let me try and find this, because I remember they
couldn't
were really.
Kick. I know he couldn't kick. I saw something about he couldn't kick, right?
Yeah, he couldn't do the Kawada kicks. Now I need to find it. Because, he had rules for everything. A 10-minute guaranteed decision match. So if the time limit was reached, Sho would win. He can't use the Black Mephisto. There's also rules may follow on account of the weight difference. You can't use the dangerous backdrop either.
What the hell? That's crazy.
Well, I think Japanese fans were like, yeah, we're not risking anything. We're going to give Tai Chi his. Because they love Tai Chi.
Also seems appropriate for, what show is always trying to accomplish here. All about the shenanigans. Despite all of that, I think that Tai Chi gets the win here.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've said this before. If this was Chaos show, I would have loved him to win this title. It would have been perfect. But the show now just...
I'm good show. I don't need to see any more. You don't have to prove it to me that you're not that guy anymore. You've already proved your point. For the IWGP Tag Team Championships, it's going to be Bishamon, Yoshihashi, and Hiroki Goto versus Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols, TMDK. These two teams had a great match earlier this year at New Beginning. I am sure this one is going to be great as well, but could we have new champions and all?
No, I don't. I love TMDK. I think Shane and Nichols are great, but I kind of want to keep this push of Bishamon because I think they really are doing well and they've not had really the time to shine. Like, also, Yoshihashi shined in the G1, but very underratedly. And I kind of just think I want them to carry on because they've been a firm stay in the tag division, really part of the reason that it's been so good recently. So I want them to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for Bishamon. They've been one of the best tag teams of the year, especially what they've done in the New Japan Heavyweight Tag Team Division. Two-time champions this year as well. Mm-hmm. And I think they can have a great matchup with TMDK and retain the titles. It's just a question of who then next? Who's next? You feuded with the Bullet Club War Dogs. You're feuded with TMDK. Who else is next? Like
guess it's World Tag League, isn't it? And you'd got to hope that New Japan bring in quite a few big names for that. For a few.
Yeah, hopefully. But I think like World Tag League, that's starting after Power Struggle.
Yeah.
That's starting after Power Struggle. So you still have to, I think that you still need a challenger for like Power Struggle for the next month or so. So that's the question to me is like, who is then next? Do you do like, is the setup is like earlier in the night, that random matchup of Zack Sabre Jr. and Bad Dude Tito versus
Shingo versus, and Suji.
I wouldn't mind that, but I don't see that happening that next because Suji's in the main event. So he can't come out to make the challenge. To my thought to this is that random match that I said earlier of Okada and Ishii, I think they get the win and they're the challengers.
I wouldn't say no to that because I think that could help build on what Chaos might be doing in the future.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want them to disband, but we need a change.
But yeah, they need to go. Next, we have a special singles match. Shingo Takagi going one-on-one with the great Okan. These two men have been basically feuding because Okan is looking to bounce back from a disappointing G1 climax. He attacked Shingo following a multi-man matchup between LIJ and United Empire, furthering this faction warfare going on between the two factions here. Who do you think picks up the victory here?
Have you been watching the Road 2 shows where they've been trying to recruit him?
Who? They've been trying to recruit?
So Okan tried to recruit Shingo. Gave Shingo a shirt. Then before their match yesterday, and after their match yesterday, Shingo was like, ooh, what's my answer going to be? Put on the shirt, then ripped it open. And then Okan had like a breakdown about this. And then in the post-match went, I'm going to kill you. So I feel like that's also a very big thing going ahead of that match is like everything that happened there. Because Okan basically said like, look at everyone who's left LIJ and look how well they're doing and you could do so much better in the Empire. And so that was a really nice storyline going through. And then Shingo, thank God, went, nope, I'm not going. And then he said in the comments, even if I was going to leave LIJ, I wouldn't go to the Empire because he wouldn't have the chance to fight. So actually showing respect to the Empire, which was quite nice.
Yeah.
But because of that, I think that I think we could have a spoiler here.
You think Great Okan wins?
I think Shingo can afford a loss more than Okan can.
I think Shingo gets the win here because I see Shingo, if not at Wrestle Kingdom, then Power Struggle or before the end of this year, I see him being the next challenger for David Finley and the Never Openweight Championship. Yeah. Because he beat Finley in the G1.
I think I kind of just want Okan to do well.
I want Okan to become unhinged. He needs another loss to become unhinged.
He's borderline. If you watch his promos from the last few, I thought he was going to start crying after Shingo ripped the shirt.
He's becoming more and more crazier. I need him to become completely unhinged. It works. Next, we got another special singles match, which should be for the shot at Tokyo Dome. But Naito said, nah, I'm good. Tetsuya Naito going one-on-one with Jeff Cobb. It was in the G1 Climax 33 tournament in the first match of the tournament for both men that Jeff Cobb defeated Tetsuya Naito in the D block. And this earned him the opportunity for this special singles match where he says that he's going to beat Naito and he's going to have his right to go to Tokyo Dome and main event Wrestle Kingdom 18. Who do you think gets the win here?
Like, it has to be Naito. We're building up this entire storyline for Naito and Wrestle Kingdom. They're not just going to have Jeff Cobb like, I'm going to main event Wrestle Kingdom now. Because although I think Jeff Cobb will one day main event Wrestle Kingdom, 2024 is not the year.
Unfortunately, no. It's Tetsuya Naito's year. Him and Sonata look like that's the most likely Wrestle Kingdom main event. So I agree with you. I think Tetsuya Naito beats Jeff Cobb, gets his win back here. But that should be a very good matchup. But
oh, quick point. You were talking about tag teams. Okan and Cobb for World Tag League?
I could see that. Yeah. I could see Cobb and Hanare as well.
Yeah. That'd be a powerful team, wouldn't it? Cobb and Hanare.
Exactly.
Is there another Empire member that
Okan? A heavyweight member? I don't think so. They just added the junior in Callum Newman. Yeah. Newman. But so I don't think Ospreay's gonna be in World Tag League.
No. I feel like with Aussie Open going, I feel like we could do with another heavyweight just to get the balance a bit better, especially for tag teams.
Hey, maybe Ospreay will be in it. Then we can get Ospreay and I don't know who would be his natural partner there in World Tag League, but they could.
His physique doesn't suit any of the other three. You know, like no. Hanare and Cobb.
Him and Cobb would be the best tag team, honestly.
Because they could be like the contrasting, because they're both quite quick and agile, but then they have like one's got the more strength. Exactly. No, but I don't see that because then champions, if he still has the UK champion, they don't normally do tag league, do they?
This is true. I mean, I remember years that heavyweight champion was in tag league. His partner would just always lose for him. But yeah, let's talk about the main event for Destruction in Kobe. The 10th match on the card, IWGP United States, in parentheses, United Kingdom Heavyweight Championship.
It's just the United Kingdom Championship, SP3. Just admit it. Just
US, UK Heavyweight Championship. Will Ospreay will defend against Yota Tsuji. This is going to be Will Ospreay's first defense of the title since winning it at Forbidden Door.
Really? Oh, yeah, because his one match against Shingo at Royal Quest wasn't title.
No.
God damn it.
Yeah. I don't know. That's crazy. See, and you were complaining about Kenny Omega. Your guy's gone just as long.
Right, but Ospreay has been here. Ospreay has been in New Japan and has been bringing out the title and all sorts, so I can't say anything.
He ain't defending it though. I'm just saying. You came at my guy.
Ospreay can do no wrong in my eyes.
Evidently, you are right. Yeah. But yes, Yota Tsuji earned this opportunity, beating Will Ospreay, pinning him at the G1 Climax 33 final show in a multi-man match with LIJ versus United Empire. We've been seeing Yota Tsuji, and in these exchanges between LIJ and United Empire, he seems to be able to keep the pace with Will Ospreay, go move for move with Will Ospreay. Will he be able to wrestle away the pretty much the 1B title in New Japan Pro Wrestling, the IWGP US-UK Championship?
In any second that I could have said yes, but because they have been pushing this Zack versus Ospreay at Royal Quest 3, no, it's not going to. I feel like they shouldn't have done that if they were going to have a title match before that.
Well, they gotta promote both shows.
But they're promoting it, but we know that Tsuji's not going to win because they've really built up the two UK guys going for the UK title.
Hey, it could still be Tsuji. The Tsuji shock is going to come one day.
You know, Tsuji versus Zack, I would take that at Royal Quest as well.
I would take that too. But I don't think it's going to be September 24th. I think Will Ospreay gets the victory over Yota Tsuji.
Yeah. One day the Tsuji shock will happen and it won't be as much of a shock, but we'll still call it the Tsuji shock.
We'll still call it the Tsuji shock. It'll be obvious, but it'll still be the Tsuji shock.
No. We'll have it be Okada for something, and then we'll have a big Tsuji shock.
There we go. When Tsuji beats Okada, you heard it here first on Ace Techers on WrestleIn.com. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition. We will be back in 2 weeks' time to discuss everything that went down at NJPW Destruction in Kobe, as well as preview Destruction in Ryogoku. So until next time, for NK, for Sanal, it is me, your true Hill Phenom SP3, signing off until next time.